Good morning.
Good morning.
I am here with great joy this morning because I get to introduce my church family to my friend and my African son, Reverend Kurawone Mutumwi. Many of you know that the Denver Presbytery has had a partnership with the Presbytery of Zimbabwe since 2005. The goal of the partnership is to build up the body of Christ globally, to extend God's love to one another. In 2007, the partnership brought two Zimbabwe teenagers to America to share in the National Youth Triennium of the PCUSA, followed by a week in Denver with host families. My family had the privilege of hosting those two youth. And with those teenagers came their chaperone. That chaperone's name was Kurawone. The first time I met him, he walked into my house with a great smile on his face and joy that you just felt and a bounce in his step. That's when I learned his nickname since coming to America was Pastor K of the Dance. Every time I saw him after that, he brought great joy into the room. And now, 10 years later, I get to see him again. All grown up, completed his theological studies, that he is now a pastor of a church in Mashingo, Zimbabwe. He's ordained, he is married to Nancy, and they have three beautiful children, two boys and one girl. He's here for the next few weeks with a small delegation of Zimbabwe, bringing him back to see many old friends, one in particular who is here for him today. Kay's country is in crisis, from extreme economic issues to water shortage. Yet in all, Kay is a faithful man of God who teaches me lessons of peace in turmoil, faith unbounded in the midst of trials, an unending hope and belief in God to sustain him. I am honored to have him in my church. Let us welcome Pastor Kay.
Thank you. Thank you, church. Thank you, Susan, my mother from the other continent. Thank you, choir. I thought I was hearing the voices of angels. Thank you for the sweet and beautiful music. Thank you, Reverend, for allowing me, risking your pulpit for a stranger. Hope God is going to disappoint you. I'm honored to be in this church. I want to acknowledge the presence of Rob. You have come to listen to me. I'm honored as well. Let me just say, I am so honored and humbled to be amongst you today to share the word of God, to share my life with you. I'm a product and a beneficiary of this partnership. And I'm happy that it was because of some people who sacrificed to explore, to know one another, that we are today together, sharing the word of God from a place which I never dreamt that I would be. I never thought in my life that I could be in such a beautiful continent that we read about, that we know about, twice. Even it is going to be my last time. But God has honored me so much. Thank you all. Today, I want to share with you from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to go through some verses there that are 1 to 14. Let me read the word of God. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very, very dry. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live.' I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. One more time. Greetings in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I bring greetings from your brothers and your sisters from the other mother in the other continent, from Zimbabwe, thanking you all. In Shona, I say, Ndichikutendai mose. Thanking you all for this opportunity to share the word of God from your holy pulpit and before this holy assembly of God. I shall ask you to pardon my English and accent, and may I appeal to your patience to bear with me even when you will be struggling to grasp everything I'm going to try and explain to you. Let me thank my pastor here so much for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God with me. And also to thank my mother. I think she has done a lot of marketing. I think she has done a lot of preaching, speaking about me. She's so wonderful to me. She's so loving and so generous. She has made my coming to America so it becomes so wonderful for me. I feel like I'm in my home. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. God has given us many things in this life. He has given us many opportunities in this life. Some of us have been given beautiful families. We have been given beautiful countries, homes, a lot of wealth, health, joy. Some of these things we appreciate. But some of these we don't. We don't see them because maybe they are, we think we deserve them. Or at times they are so common. As common as sunlight. It's not always common for someone to wake up in the morning and say, I want to thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Because the sunshine is so common, so silent, so obvious, and we think we deserve it. But we get those things, those many things from God. But you may want to ask yourself this question. What is the most privileged opportunity that God has given you in this life? What is the most privileged opportunity that God has given us in our country? For me, it's not all these other things. It's not all these beautiful things that we have. One thing that stands tall for me when I look at what God has given me is the opportunity to partner with Him. The opportunity to be with Him as He fulfills His purpose here on earth. If you ever imagine how good it is to observe God doing His work, to be invited by God, and God says, come, let's go together. Just to watch as I do these things. Come, let's go together. What's your opinion on these things? In this passage that we have just read, Ezekiel is introducing us to a God who, by His Spirit, invites him in a journey, on a walk, and say, come, Ezekiel, let's go. Let's go together. Let's walk together. Let's go down this path. Maybe he didn't know where they were going. You know, if I am invited by God, the first place I think of is heaven. Maybe it's paradise. All these beautiful places. I must confess that from the day I came, I've been taken to very beautiful places. The gardens of God. What a wonderful place. Last time I went to the Rocky Mountains, it was quite a wonderful time when I was shoving snow into... we don't have snow in Zimbabwe. We are in the Southern Hemisphere. Even the highest peak, the highest mountain in Zimbabwe, you don't see snow. Now it was so wonderful for me to start shoving snow. These are places that some people tend to take people to if they want to go for a walk because they want us to see beautiful things. But God of all places, instead of taking Ezekiel to the Rocky Mountains or to the Garden of the Gods or to any other place, maybe the Grand Canyons, He takes Ezekiel to the valley. And that valley was full of dry bones. The worst place. I would imagine somebody, my pastor, you're taking me to the graveyard, the cemetery. Say, now, brother, you're in America, let me show you some places. Then he leads me to a cemetery. I would say, what's wrong? Why are you taking me to this horrible place? This is what God is doing. He's saying, we are on a journey. Let's go. Let's walk together. As they are going, he's thinking maybe today I'm going to see the angels. Today I'm going to be in paradise. Today I'm going to be in the clouds with my God. But he leads him to the valley of dry bones. When he went there, he made him to sit in the middle of dry bones. I just want to imagine him. He looks into the west. He didn't see the Rocky Mountains. They were bones. He looked into the north. He didn't see anything special. They were bones. He looked into the south. Bones. bones. Surrounded by the aroma of death. Filled by the smell of hopelessness. There is no life here. It's only dry bones. As if that was not enough. The scripture says, he made me to move up and down, to and fro, among the bones. Interact with them, touch them, feel them. Then after that, Ezekiel made a comment. The valley was full of dry bones. They were very, very dry. They were sun-scorched. They were rain-washed. They were scavenger-eaten. Very dry. I think that's a big picture of hopelessness. Let me come to you a little bit. Why do you think God leads you to a situation in somebody's life that is as dry as the dry bones? Sometimes you get to relate with somebody, you get to know somebody, you get to a glimpse on somebody who is in a very, very difficult situation. Why do you think God lead this presbytery of Denver by his spirit to one of the countries whose story is just like dry bones? I tell you, you don't want to listen to the story of Zimbabwe. It can borrow your ears. It's quite one of the most not lovely stories on earth. It has been told and retold and retold. It's not a good story. And it looks like the story is going down and down and down and down. But there is somebody who is journeying with God and is being taken to that situation. And he's been asked, touch, interact with the people there, interact with the situation there. What do you say? Very dry. So, this is the part that I like so much in this scripture. Now there's a press conference. Ezekiel has seen what he has seen. God is now the journalist asking questions. And Ezekiel is more like the panelist. Then God takes his mic and says, son of man, can these bones live? Oh. If I were Ezekiel, I would say, God, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that you are the one who creates life? Don't you know that you are God? Why would you ask something that you created, whether it lives or not, when you are the one who created? At times, God is funny. Because he asks you for an opinion over things that you know you have no power over. But Ezekiel was very wise. He said, you, God, you know. You may ask me, but you know. Now, the good news here is that God does not take you to a place or to a situation where he doesn't need your opinion. If God shows you something, he wants you to take action. He wants you to say out what you think. He wants you to pray. If you pray, he will listen to you. Because he's taken you there. He wants your opinion. When God took Abraham, after he was fed, those three angels that came, and they were walking down with God, down the street, and he says, look, I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He was not just saying it because he wanted to tell good stories. He was listening for Abraham's opinion. And Abraham said, if there are 50 people in the city, are you going to destroy? And God said, no. What about 45? No. Until he said, what about, he bargained until he got to Lot. Because God takes you to a place, and in that place, if you give your opinion, you will listen to it. Now, as they were exploring the valley, after Ezekiel said, you God know, then God said, now, prophesy to these bones. Speak to these bones. Now, Ezekiel is now being given an opportunity to walk side by side with God, deciding on some things and being asked to participate in the purpose and will of God. And then God says to him, prophesy to these bones. Speak to these bones. Tell them the word of God. Tell them that they are going to live. Still, it amazes me. To ask a question. Why are you bothering me, you God? Why can't you just speak to them directly? We are here, you can speak to the bones and they can rise up and they can obey you. But God chooses to say, I want you to speak to them. I want the word to come from you. What a good God who loves to use us in his purpose. What a good God who wants to be represented by us in his way. What was God simply saying to him? He was saying, we are partners. We are friends. We are in this together. Let us do this. You and me. Represent me. Let them see and hear me in you. Am I allowed to say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So God was saying, we are in this together. This partnership, we have seen a lot. We celebrated 10 years. And we have been in this together. Walking together. Doing a lot of projects together. Sharing life together. Relationships. Making friends. Making families. We are in this together. God is inviting you to say, let's partner, let's work together. Because I want you and me to be together in this. I want you and me to journey together. When you walk with God, God will not allow you to speak from across the river. Hallelujah. We have a problem these days. I want to make a comment about America. I just speak from across the river. No, the Americans are like this and that and that and that and that and that. Then I make an opinion out of that. But sometimes when you are short-sighted like the way I am, if you look from the across the river, a person might appear like a tree, like a stub. But what God wants is he takes you to the place, to the valley, to interact, to see, so that when you make an opinion, it's well informed. You have an experience. You have a relationship. So we are grateful to God. Because now, I speak about this partnership with a deeper conviction. Knowing the good things that God has done through this partnership. I understand you from a deeper, a nearer relationship and conviction. Because you have touched my life. Tangibly. Now you can watch the miracle. That God, when Ezekiel obeyed God and spoke the words that God has said, bone went to bone. No matter how scattered they were, they found each other. No matter how full the valley was, the bone was going to a bone. It's always beautiful It's always in order. You will see the order when God brings his things together. No matter how scattered, how disorganized they were, when God starts to restore things, things will always fall in order. When God starts to touches your life, hope will always come, even in a hopeless situation. Life will always come, even in a lifeless situation. There is ligament, there is flesh that is coming back, new energy and new vitality, everything being brought in by God. The slain are slowly becoming an army. They are now bodies, and God breathes life into them, life and hope. And a great army. We are a great army. But it takes people who are going to walk with God in prayer. It takes people who are going to journey with God wherever he wants you to go, for hope to come back among his people, for us to realize the full potential of who we are. It takes God. It takes people who are going to listen and obey to God. And I'm grateful for men and women who sacrificed their homes, their lives, for this partnership. Hope is coming to our nation. And we believe that. As I conclude, let me just throw these nuggets. A valley of dry bones can be a base of a vast army if we walk with God. Every opportunity God allows you to see a dry bone area in someone's life is a call by God to partner with him, to speak life, to pray life, to speak hope in that person's life. 3, as long as you are going there with God, hope is not less. As long as you are going there, no matter you're going to the valley of dry bones, as long as you are going there with God, hope is not lost. May God bless you all. May God make you friends with God, to journey with him, to partner with him, so that hope can be restored. Amen.